Good evening, Living Word. Welcome to our Wednesday night service tonight. If you're just tuning in with us by Facebook, let us know you're watching if you don't mind. Just tag your name or just say hello or praise the Lord or good to see you or something. We'd like to know that you are watching us tonight. We're going to have a regular service tonight. We're going to do worship and we're going to get into our message, our continued message of faith stories. And we're going to finish up about David and Goliath tonight and how God used David to take down a giant. So we are excited about that. Let's begin our service tonight with prayer. You at home and are watching, if you just pray with me right where you're at. Father, as we enter your house tonight of worship once again, we are grateful and thankful we have this place to worship you. For all those watching, God, for all of our church family who is at home and just can't be here right now, Lord, we pray for blessings on their lives. We pray for the word and the worship to touch them where they are at. You're the same God no matter where we are at, God. You can be everywhere for everyone at all times, and we are thankful for that. Let your presence and let your anointing be felt in this sanctuary here tonight and in all the homes around the area that are watching us live. Bless your people. Bless our Living Word people. And we give you thanks and we give you praise for being our Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. We want to get into some worship. Some of our church folks know this song was called How Sweet It Is. So as you're at home, just worship with us. Raise your hands, sing along, and we're still a family. Even though we're separated right now physically, we're not separated spiritually. And so just sing along where you are, and let's just worship the Lord together tonight.
How sweet it is just to feel your presence.
That saved a wretch Personally, which the church members know this, Mr. Williams is in hospice and he's ready to take his flight. And he told James that this was his favorite song that we sung. And so this is for everyone, because when you find the lily of the valley, he can get you through anything. But it's especially for Junior Williams right now.
To calm the raging battles in my mind, in search of many answers that my troubled soul just couldn't seem to find. Place to leave my burden.
Valley we're in, I'm so glad we have the lily. We would be lost without it. I want to welcome you all once again to our service tonight. We will be in 1 Samuel chapter 17. I want to thank we got about 6 people here with us tonight that are helping making this service happen. And I want to thank them for being here and for supporting this ministry in the way they are. And you've got a great purpose too. I've got someone over here to look at when I'm talking, so thank you very much. We're going to, first of all, I do want to say about what Melanie said about Brother Williams. For the church family to know, he is in hospice care right now. They're not allowing me to even get back there to see him. I got to say my farewells a few days ago at the hospital. The chaplain approved me to get in there because he was near death, and I got to say my goodbyes to him then. But be praying for the Williams family. He's ready to go see Jesus, and he's been a part of our ministry for about 7 or 8 years, maybe 9 years. And he will greatly be missed, but we are celebrating his homegoing because he is going to see Jesus. So we're thankful for that. On that note, I want to also let the church family know about Miss Sharon, Joe's wife. She had major back surgery yesterday down at Mooresville, and she's recovering. She'll be there for a few days, and I did get a chance to pop down and see Joe for a minute. I called him. It was a God thing. I went down there. Y'all that know me as your pastor, man, I want to be there as much as I can. And so I thought, if I could just be in the parking lot where she's at during her surgery and know Joe knows I'm there. And so I went down and I bought, of all things, for her a teddy bear because we know how Miss Sharon loves teddy bears. I think she's got like 95 in her house. And so I picked up a little teddy bear from the church, from the Living Word family, and had it in a bag, took it down there. And I was going to call Joe, but I walked in the front door, and they have, of course, screeners there and all that. And when I walked in the front door, who was standing right there? Joe. And I'm like, Joe. And she had just gotten out of surgery, and everything went well. Doctors, everything went really good for her, but she will be recovering. So keep her in your prayers as well. But we'll get into our message tonight. Like I said, I'm glad you're checking us out online, and we're going to be as normal as we can be, as normal as I can be, which isn't saying a lot, I know, but we're going to try to keep things as normal as we can. And I'm thankful we're here on location in our sanctuary, as you can see, and I want you to feel like you're part of the service tonight. Let me recap a little what we talked about last week. We're talking about David and the giant, and we are facing a giant right now, as we know, and we're facing many giants. And this giant we're facing today looks very scary. It's got a lot of people very afraid. In fact, I changed our church sign out today in front of our church and put on one side. I put on there, it says, "Do not be afraid, I'm still God." So I want to encourage you with that. Do not be afraid, he's still God. And he's in control, and I'm trusting that, I'm believing that, and he's got his hand all over us. But we've been talking about David the last 2 weeks and how David was chosen to be the next king of Israel. David wasn't the most qualified. David wasn't the one that should have been king. David was actually a shepherd boy, tending sheep. He was not qualified. He was not a warrior. He was not a fighter. He was not a military man. He was a meek, mild, humble shepherd. But he was the one God chose to be the next king. And so when Samuel the prophet anointed him, he went on back to doing his thing, like always, taking care of the sheep. And his dad sent him to go take food to his brethren because the Philistines were making war with the Israelites. And so Jesse said, "David, go take food to your brothers. Check out their condition. Check out how they're holding up. Come back and let me know." So David did that. But while David was there, something happened. He heard this Philistine named Goliath, who's over a 9-foot mammoth, who had all this armor, 150 pounds worth of armor and helmet and sword, and he was a big, bad, nasty guy. And he was bullying Israel. And he says, "You know what?" It says, "I defy the armies of Israel. Send a man to fight me." Well, everybody was afraid of him. Nobody wanted to face Goliath. All these soldiers, all these military men were afraid of this giant. And that's what fear does. Fear always magnifies the problem, doesn't magnify God. That's what fear does. And we're seeing that even in our world today, where fear is taking such root that it's causing us not to focus on the faith that we should have in God, because God is bigger than whatever we're facing right now. And so here is Goliath. He's being nasty. He's being gnarly. He's saying, "Send me somebody." Everybody's afraid. Well, David ever heard the people talking, and he's like, "Why are you afraid?" We read last week where he says, "You are letting this uncircumcised Philistine defy the armies and the nation of the living God." The living God. Not a dead God, not a false God, the living God. David's like, "What are you doing? We are God's people. We are the nation of God. And you're letting this giant?" I mean, God is on our side. The Bible says if God is for us, who can be against us? I heard some of y'all say at your house right now. Hallelujah. If God be for us, who can be against us? None can be against us. So they thought David was just, you know, cocky and arrogant, blah, blah, blah. He went to the king. He said, "King Saul, I'll go fight that giant for you. I'll kill that giant for you." And Saul said, "You're not qualified. You can't do it." And that's where we pick up tonight. Let's see what the king tells Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32. David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go, and he will fight this Philistine." David's saying, "Don't be discouraged. Don't let your heart fail. Don't worry. I'll go fight. All is well. Don't worry about not having nobody. I'm a willing vessel, and I will go fight them. No problems, no worries." David had no fear because he wasn't walking in fear. He was walking in faith. Verse 33, Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth." We talk all the time here about how we got to measure God, not measure our giants. You know, one giant looks bigger than the other to us, and it should. There are giants in our lives that are bigger than others. We always say that someone else is going through something worse than we are, and that is true. Their giants are worse maybe than our giants. Their giants are bigger than our giants in the natural, but they're not any different to God. God's over all giants. He's over all things. He's the creator of all things. So we got to start measuring God, not the giant. And Saul is looking at David saying, "You can't do it. You're not experienced. You're not qualified. You can't battle this giant." Look what he says, though. He gave his testimony. Everybody out there say testimony.
Testimony.
He gave his testimony here. Look what he said. He said to Saul, the king, "Your servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him, smote him, delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and I smote him and I slew him." Can you picture that? Grabbing that thing and whatever he did to it. He's giving his testimony. Okay, you say I'm not qualified. Let me tell you why I am qualified. Here's my resume. Here's what I've done in the past. And I know if I've done this in the past, I can do it in the future, because God doesn't measure giants. Goliath's no different than a lion or a bear. He's no different than anything that's come against me. And I can take care of this. Then verse 36 says, "Your servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." Thank God for a voice of reason and truth that stood up in the midst of fear and says, "I won't bow my knee to this predator, to this enemy, whenever I know who I serve. He's no different. I was a shepherd to protect the flock. Now God's going to use me to protect a nation. I don't care how big he is. He's not bigger than God. Don't care how scary he looks. He's not scarier than what God can overcome, because I know in whom I have believed. He is my fortress. He is my refuge. In God will I trust," as the Bible says. And David was living proof of this. Then he goes on to say this. He testifies a little bit more. He testified about what he did. Now he's going to testify about what he's going to do. David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he shall deliver me," or "he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." He was declaring victory before he took the battle. He was saying, "God's going to beat this giant. I'm going to say it. I'm going to confess it. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to walk in it." Before, that's what faith's all about. Faith's about not knowing where you're going, but knowing that God's able to get you through where you're going. And so he professed it. He confessed, "I'm going to beat this giant." Now, none of us in this room tonight, none of you watching on Facebook, have probably a 9-foot giant outside your door defying you right now in the natural. But we have a lot of giants that are mocking us, laughing at us, scoffing at us, saying that you'll never win this battle, you'll never overcome, it'll always be this way, you'll never have victory, you'll always be defeated, you'll always be weak, you'll always be this way. That's not true. Let's start declaring the word of God and reminding the devil of who we are. I am a child of the living God, of the Most High. He is my shepherd. I shall not want. He shall deliver me from all evil. His angels shall give charge to keep me in all my ways. As we begin to speak forth the word, something happens. We actually start believing it. We actually start believing it. Because as we tell ourselves who we are in Christ, as we tell ourselves what the Word of God says, this is why right now we must be careful not to stay glued to the negative news 24 hours a day. Look at every number that rolls down the dial. Look at every report that someone speaks. Let's look at this good report of what God says. I am covered by the blood of Jesus. I am covered by his anointing. I am covered by his presence. I am Holy Ghost Spirit filled. I'm the walking tabernacle of the Most High God. And that doesn't change because giants come my way. God is the God over giants. Period. All of them. So after David gave his testimony, Saul, the king, said to David, "Go and the Lord be with you." So Saul armed David with his armor. He put a helmet of brass upon his head and armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed it to go, for he had not proved it. And David said to Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them." And David put them off. Interesting here, huh? David had proved? That his God was in control. He had proved God could win the battle. He couldn't fight the battle the same way Saul fought it, the same way Goliath fought it, the same way everybody else fought it. God didn't call him to fight the battle that way. God had a very unique plan for David to fight the battle, and it wouldn't be the same way that they were armed. His armor didn't fit because that wasn't the way of victory for David. That wasn't how it was going to go down. God had a had a plan for David to win apart from how everybody else was winning these battles. He said, I haven't proven this armor. I can't move in it good. I'm not comfortable in it. It's going to throw my game off. This isn't me, king, so I'm just going to take it off. I wonder what the king's face looked like when he said that. What? Okay. Now you're really not qualified. Didn't think you were before. Now I know you're not qualified. You're going to go out there with no armor and face this giant? Look what he did in verse 40. He took his staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in his script. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Now I want you to picture this. Goliath, armor, sword, chest armor, feet were, you know, shod with the proper gear. He was a fully dressed soldier, over 9 feet tall. And here comes a little young nothing looking with a slingshot in his hand. This is who you're sending to fight me? This is who you say can take me down? Do you know who I am? David was thinking, do you know who I serve? That's the difference. The Philistine came. He drew near to David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. He despised him. He rejected him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and a fair countenance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you comest to me with staves? That means a stick. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. A couple of points I want to make here. First of all, we see here that the Philistine disdained him. You know why he disdained him? What value was there in beating this? Really? That's like a big 6'8" kid in high school picking on a little 5-foot youngin' and throwing him down the ground. Ooh, look what I done. Ooh. That wasn't nothing to him. Wasn't nothing. He said, this isn't going to bring me no glory. Me beating you don't give me no value, man. I'm expected to win this battle. There's nothing in it that's going to bring me any credit. You're a little runny youth. You don't even have a helmet on or a sword on, man. You come at me with a kid's toy, and you're the one they send? My gosh. And he says, and on the second point I want to say on 43, where he says, I cursed you by your gods. He made a mistake right there. Genesis chapter 12 has a covenant with God's people, remember? I will bless those who bless you, Abraham, and your seed. And I will curse them that curse you, Abraham, and your seed. He is now cursing the seed of Abraham. So Goliath, I think, is in trouble, y'all. What do you think? The Philistine said, verse 44, David, come to me, and I will give your flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beast of the field. He's trash-talking David. He's getting in his mind. He's letting him know what he's going to do ahead of time to bring intimidation and fear. Then David said to the Philistine, David talked back. Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. So he's acknowledging, yeah, you're coming to me equipped. You're coming to me with all of these things. You are ready to battle. And you have that in place. But I'm not going to fight you that way, Mr. Goliath. I come to you in the name of everybody say name. Name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of the Philistines. No, the God of the army of Israel, whom thou hast defied. I'm not going to fight you with a spear. I'm not going to fight you with a sword. I'm not going to attack you by means of man. I'm simply going to stand in front of you invoking the name of my God, which is the name above every name, every sickness, every disease, every fear, every doubt, every discouragement. It is a name above every name. That's why it's important in this time we call upon the name of the Lord, for in His arsenal is everything we need to survive and even to prosper in a desolate desert. He is the lily that blooms in our valley. He is the lily that blooms in our desert. When doors are shutting, God says, watch this and watch what I can do. When everything is closing down, God says, watch me open this up. When God says this is over, I mean, when the world says it's over, watch what God says. It ain't over till I say it's over, and I ain't said it's over because I'm still God. And David knew this because he had faith in whom he had served. Remember, he was in the field with sheep. It was him and the sheep. And there wasn't much conversation, probably. And so it's him and God out there. And he's watching those sheep. He's got time to pray. He's got time to trust. He's got time to meditate. He's got time by himself to just dwell on the goodness of God. And when those things came against his flock, God equipped David with what he needed to overcome. For you out there that are watching tonight, God has got what you need. He's equipped you with what you need to get through the giants of your life. Whatever you are facing, there is no giant that can outdo the name of the Lord. There is no giant bigger than the name of the Lord. There is no mountain higher than the name of the Lord. There is no depth deep enough to cover up the name of the Lord. He is the Lord our God, and there is no other. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you're in your living room, clap your hands, y'all. Good preaching for six people in here. Hallelujah. Verse 46. This day will the Lord deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you. He's talking junk. If you ever played sports, you do that, right? Football field, basketball field, you talk junk to each other. You punk, you think you're going to score on me? Psh, you ain't nothing, man. I'm going to eat you, take you down. I'm going to eat you for lunch and your mama. Here's what he's saying. Goliath, the Lord is going to deliver you in my hand. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to take your head from you. I'm going to give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day, right now, this moment, unto the fowls of the air, to the wild beast of the earth. Why? That all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. Well, church, there is a God in the United States of America. There is a God right here. There's a God all over the world. There's a God that's present right now. And he is going to slay your giant if you will let him have your battle. And not fear, but walk in faith. Verse 47, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with a sword and a spear. For the battle is who? The Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. And he will give you unto our hands. This is a time that we need peace like never before. We need reassurance. We need hope. And with God, there is that hope. With God, there is that peace. With God, there is that reassurance. With God, there is that satisfaction of knowing everything is going to be okay because he is in control. And the battle is his. If we could learn to let God fight our battles and truly give it to him and say, Lord, this is yours. I can't change, I can't change really one thing about tomorrow. All I can do is trust God today. And I do. And I believe that. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow, as the song says. It came to pass when the Philistine arose. So David's done told him what he's going to do to him. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to chop your head off. I'm going to feed your old nasty carcass to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. And everybody's going to see who the real God is. And they're going to look back and think, my Lord, we were scared of that whenever we serve this. Wow. It came to pass when the Philistine arose, Goliath, he came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted, I love this, and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. He ran ahead. He ran and positioned himself for battle. He had a battle plan. He knew what was going to happen, and he knew God was going to give him victory. He didn't cower. He didn't hide back. He didn't hold back. He ran to where the battle was, trusting the Lord was going to meet him in the crossroads of the battle. That is faith. And David put his hand in his bag, took a stone, and slang it. That's what the King James Version says. Slang it. And he smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. A shepherd boy. Yes, done. Well done. Here is this giant who was mocking David, scoffing David, cursing David, was so disappointed that's who they sent. I bet if he would have been conscious enough to realize what happened laying on the ground, he'd have wished they sent somebody else. Because the one he made fun of was the one that took him out. It wasn't that David was militarily qualified. It wasn't David was big or strong. David had no experience in fighting. But David served a God who understood how to win battles. You serve a God who understands how to win battles. Whatever your battle is tonight you're facing, you've got a God that understands what you're going through, and you can overcome through the name of the Lord. Here is this giant. Picture this big old giant. Can you imagine the eyeballs of the Philistine armies? Oh, my. If they'd have had cell phones back then, they'd have been texting their neighbors. O-M-G-S-M-H. Right? I can't believe what I just saw. It'd have been on every YouTube channel in Jerusalem and wherever they all of them plays. It'd have been all over the Middle East. Special headline, little boy kills big giant. I mean, think about that. It was because of God, the God that he served. This is why we're doing this series on faith stories. We need to hear faith stories right now. All we're hearing is negative. All we're hearing is what's wrong. I want to talk tonight about what's right. And what's right is God still in control. What's right is the sun's going to still rise tomorrow no matter what happens. What's right is the stars are still going to dance tonight above us no matter what happens. The tide's not going to stop rolling because of what's happening. The mountains aren't going to stop standing because of what's happening. I was at the office this morning looking out my window, my study, and it just been raining all morning. It stopped, and there were about 50 blackbirds all on the ground back there, all in a cluster. And I was just sitting there thinking, you know, the whole world is running mad right now. The whole world is so chaotic and afraid. And here are all these blackbirds on the ground just doing their thing, getting the worms or the ladybugs or whatever blackbirds eat. I don't know, but they're on the ground just going everywhere. You know, no worries and no cares and, you know, just doing what they do, you know, coming out of that rain and just eating and God providing. The Bible says that, right? God provides for the fowls of the air. He provides for them blackbirds. We are a greater commodity than the blackbird. We are of greater value than the blackbird. We are his creation. We are God's people. And I want you to be like the blackbird was this morning and just, when you wake up in the morning, you go through your day as normal as you can, trusting God that we are going to cross this Jordan together as a people of God and as a nation. We are going to cross this Jordan because God is taking us by the hand and he is making sure that we are going to be okay. Verse 50. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and he smote the Philistine and slew him, and there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, David ran. Picture this scene. We can visualize this. Before TV, there was something called radio. And I remember going on a trucking trip with my uncle back in 09, I believe. And he had that satellite radio. And gun smoke came on the radio. That was so cool to hear a gun smoke episode on the radio. I couldn't see Marshall Dillon, but I could hear him. I couldn't see the saloon, but I sure could see the saloon. And it was so cool to hear a gun smoke episode on the radio because I was visualizing as I was listening in my own mind what that looked like. I want you to visualize this moment. There's this valley separating the armies of Israel and the Philistines. And as they met to fight, David killed Goliath hand-to-hand combat, one-on-one. They were not social distancing. They were right there. And so they were close together as they were having this fight. Then here goes David, and he ran. And he stood up on the Philistine, took his sword, the Philistine sword, drew it out of the sheath, and he slew him, cut off his head. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they ran like big fat chickens. The King James don't say that, but it does say this. They fled. But that's what it means. They fled. All of a sudden, they're all big and bad. We got Goliath. We're behind Goliath. Go get him, Goliath. You get him, boy. Now they're holding his head up in the air like this, like a horror movie. Now all of a sudden, their champion is dead. Oh, my gosh, what do we do? They ran. This one man was killed, and the whole army fled. David had a whole army to go away. The men of Israel and of Judea rose and shouted, "Oh, and now they pursue the Philistines." Now they go after them. Before, "I ain't going, George. I ain't going, John. You going, James? I ain't going, Dave. I ain't going. I ain't going. I ain't going, Frank. Why don't you guys? I don't know. I ain't going." They were so afraid. But now that they're on the run, they get bold. And they start chasing them. Until they came to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Sheram, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. He carried this head back to Jerusalem. This mammoth giant that brought so much fear all of a sudden is destroyed. It's over. It's gone. The battle's ended. The Lord has won. When we learn to look at the size of our God as David did, and that's what David's whole revelation was. Really? I've killed a lion. I've killed a bear. Everybody say, oh my. So I could kill this giant too. I mean, I can kill this giant. His faith was not in what was in front of him. His faith was in who lived in him. And in this time, God is calling his people, trust me. In this time of such uncertainty, trust me. When every day there's a new giant rising up, a giant, and fear to me right now is the biggest giant of all. It's the giant of fear. But do not be afraid. I am still God. So he goes on, took his head, brought Jerusalem. And when Saul saw David, King Saul, saw David go forth against the Philistines, he said to Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? Who's he belong to? Who's his daddy? And Abner said, as thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. I don't know who he is. I have no idea. Never seen the kid in my life. But he just won you a battle and killed the biggest champion the Philistines had. They didn't even know his name. And the king said, inquire that whose son the stripling is. And David returned from the slaughter. I love that word. I've said it before, slaughter. That just sounds really bad, don't it? I mean, who goes around saying that? I slaughtered them. I guess you say you slaughtered pigs. Just sounds bad. I slaughtered of the Philistines. Abner took him, brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. I really hope he washed his hands with antibacterial soap and hot water. Right, Melanie? And Saul, this last verse, verse 58. And Saul said to him, whose son are you, thou young man? And David said, I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. Now, David was anointed king on purpose by God. It was not a mistake. If you remember the story, all the other sons of Jesse came before Samuel the prophet. And Samuel says, nope, 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 nope. Not him, not him, not him, not him. You got any more kids? I got one more. Call him up. As soon as Samuel saw him, that's the next king. Now, if you understand genealogy throughout the Bible, Jesus came out of the seed of David, out of that Jesse David seed. And so all this is prophetic. All this is fitting. David was king because this was where our Messiah would come out of this lineage. This giant who stood in the way of these Israelites invoked such fear that no man could face him. And it took a shepherd boy with no experience to hear that in his ear and say, I can do this. I know I can do this because I know who I serve. He testified about what he had done and testified about what he was going to do. And because of that, he won the victory. Whatever giants you are facing tonight, whatever giants are in front of you, I want you to understand there's nothing bigger than our God. We are in times like never before, and I know that. We are facing, I've talked to people in their late 70s, early 80s, so they have never seen anything like this in their lifetime. And I know it's a difficult time, but man, God's in 2020 like he was 2010, 2000, 1985, 1955, whenever. He's in every generation. He's in every season. And he is in these seasons. Marty, come play a little something if you would, just a little real soft. Before we close this Wednesday night service out, I want to pray, and I want to pray for those of you that are watching us tonight. I know many of you, of our church family, you're battling sickness, and you're not feeling well, and some of you have lost your jobs or are worried about losing your jobs. And I want to pray for our church family tonight that God will supply your needs according to his riches and glory. And I want to pray that the fear that's trying to set in will be lifted off of you even this night. As you lay down tonight, you will feel better by hearing this word tonight and knowing that God is in this. There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of stress. A lot of uncertainties, but one thing is certain. Jesus is Lord. That's certain. So as you're watching tonight, just bow your heads with me and just pray with me. When you lift your hands at home, wherever you're at, just pray tonight with me this prayer. Lord, as we stand before a holy God in this place tonight, we know there is fear that's run amok right now. There is chaos. There is uncertainty. There are so many things, so many questions we don't have answers to, but really that's not important. We know you are the answer, God, to all of our questions. And we know you are the lily. The day we found that lily of our valley, it did change the rest of our lives. And God, I pray for our church family who are battling fear, discouragement, depression. They're overwhelmed right now with not knowing what's happening. God, I pray for a breakthrough. I pray for your power and your anointing to break through to where they are now and let them know that it's going to be okay. Nothing can stop you, God. Nothing is bigger than you. No fear can outman you, God. You are God, and you change not. I pray for the sickness and disease of those of our church family, that you help them and rescue them and bring healing to their bodies, healing to their minds. For doors have been closed, God, I pray for new doors of opportunity to be opened, that you will position them in the right place for this season and for this time. We thank you, God, that you are the door opener and the door closer. And because the door closes doesn't mean it's wrong. That God may be positioning us for a different position. And we receive that and we accept that and we believe that. Fill this church family, God, during this time with so much of your peace, so much of your presence, that they will be drawn in a whole new way, God. An intimacy with you they haven't had, maybe in a very long time, that they seek your face for peace. We give you praise and honor in the name of Jesus for being our Lord and Savior. Amen. Go ahead and sing a little chorus, Mark, wherever you're playing.
Here we are, standing in your presence once again.
Yes, Lord.
Lifting holy hands.
Home right now. I challenge you to stand up and lift your hands where you're at. Just stand up and lift your hands and praise the Lord with us in this place. Hallelujah.
Standing in your presence.
Yes, Lord.
Once again, lifting holy hands to you. Here we are, basking in your glory. One more time, in your presence, here we are.
Do it no music, Margie. Just sing it. Y'all sing it from home
here
tonight.
Here we are, standing in your presence once again, lifting holy. Basking in your glory one more time, in your presence here we are.
Amen. Amen. God bless y'all tonight. Thanks for joining in with us. We'll be Facebook Live again at 10 o'clock. Have a little bit more of our worship team probably here on Sunday morning to bless you with that. But thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in tonight if you did, and I hope this has been a blessing to you. We love you guys very much. As your pastor, if you need me, I'm always here. Call me. I'll help meet your needs however that I can. So anyway, God bless you, and we'll see you Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Good night.